Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like when men were free.
Yeah, you've blown it all sky high. Yeah, I think that says a lot, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? But anyway, good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL, or the spirit of the EDL. Tonight's show is labelled English Defence League Radio Show, The Lockdown Files, Part 2. So I'll continue. Welcome to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll continue our discussion concerning social media messages that proved ourselves and our colleagues' concerns over the handling of the Wuhan virus pandemic, should I say, were based on sound reasoning from the beginning. The truth has come out. You'll find it here and can share it far and wide. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke, back in the 1770s, a politician. Those who make peaceful revolution possible will make violent revolution inevitable. How true it is. President John F. Kennedy, before I hand the reins to my dear friend and my colleague in the great Vermont, I want to say, if at any time you feel like you'd like to call in, because something that we're talking about that you'd like to discuss with us, the number to call in, if you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. I'll repeat that one more time. 001-858-777-5934. And so without further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague from across the pond in the great Vermont. Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to you, Dave, and to all of our international listeners across the globe. Over to you, Dave. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you, Jeff, and thank you. And just to give a big welcome to everybody here and in the chat, of course, if you want to get in the chat and have a talk with Jeff, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. When we podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK, and that's going to be starting next week, 3:30 p.m. in the United States, because we'll be all synced up with the clocks and everything. And look at the White Top Center search box, type in EDL Radio or English Defense League Radio, and follow the links. And if you register with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into our chat and have a nice little chat with Jeff. Now, on to a bit of a more housekeeping here. Something that we're going to be talking about the lockdown files and some of the fallout and indeed some of the principal things involved in it, because the show last week was just too long to encompass it, and we want to finish that out this week. All right, and we encourage you guys to share both those shows out as far and wide on your social media as you possibly can. We're going to do that, but first, we need to give people a public service, a warning by public service message. Ramadan or whatever you want to call it, the season begins on Wednesday, the 22nd. So this coming Wednesday is when that begins. Now, as we've covered for many years here on this show, this is a time when terror attacks ramp up. And it is a time when people should be very careful for everyone. Be aware of your surroundings. Always make sure that you have an escape route or even two escape routes. If you're in a country where you can do it, carry a self-defense tool. Don't let yourself be caught in a hostage situation. But understand that the next month that we'll be going into, from Wednesday right up until the end of April the 21st, is going to be a heightened time for terror attacks. They always go up, and they happen everywhere, so be on your guard. And before we get into the main topic for the show, I'm just going to ask Jeff, is there anybody in the chat, buddy?
Yes, certainly is. We've got our very own Duck Northwest Media giving us a thumbs up. English Defence League is there. Also, he continues to say thumbs up. Jeff Danger Man Mitchell and Bigfoot then joins in, and he says, he says, hi, Duck. Jeff and Agador, and Duck Northwest Media replies, Dave Milner, and he also gives a thumb up, that's a thumbs up to Dave, and also to yourself, Dave, should I say, and a thumbs up to Bigfoot. And Bigfoot has made a comment. He says, be sure to go to the Religion of Peace for its Ramadan Bombathon. How true that is. I would say it's a month of bloodletting by the cultists of death. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, that might be controversial to some, but you know what? If you don't like it and you don't like what I've just said, please call in. If I haven't insulted you, please call in and I'll insult you once again. So it's up to you. So you've got a number, which I said earlier on. So with that, I've just got to give them a chance, haven't I? You know, I keep saying, please come and join. You know, you want to dig at me, please do so. Because we have got enemies, as you know, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, it's like water off a duck's back with these people. But with that, Dave, back to you, brother.
All right, yeah, welcome, Duck Northwest Media, and welcome, Bigfoot. Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com is a place to read Biggie's blog. And, yes, he recommends thereligionofpeace.com. They have a record that they keep every year of the terror attacks and the number of people killed in these attacks during Ramadan. As Biggie said, it's called the Ramadan Bombathon. And it's not just about that. The religionofpeace.com is a great resource that Jeff and I have used over the years to really educate people about Islam. It's very well put. It's very well organized. You can, whatever question you have about Islam, the real Islam, not what the imams come out and try and fool you with, but the real Islam. Stuff from the Quran, you know, that's how it's backed up. It's backed up by stuff from the Quran. On any subject you want concerning Islam, thereligionofpeace.com has got you covered. It's a great resource. It's one of my primary resources when, you know, we're talking about Islam. So, yeah, we're going to be referring to it in the next month. So you guys, please do that. And if you just want to educate yourself about it a bit, it's a great place to go. All right. Now, and again, thank you, Biggie, for that. When we talk about the lockdown files, one of the things that has happened since this came out on the first of this month, one of the things that's happened has been that some people in the press have begun to backpedal. They want you now to think that they were on your side all along and things of that nature, and they want you to forgive them, and they want you to trust them. And what we're doing, guys, here, we're running these things in chronological order, in the order that they came out. Almost everything, if not everything, that I'm going to run here comes from the guy that has a YouTube channel and a Rumble channel, both called We Got a Problem. And I encourage everyone to subscribe to this guy's channel because he reminds me a lot of Jeff, let's put it that way, in his common sense way of approaching a lot of issues. And we're gonna run this one right now. It's 3.5 minutes. And enjoy the fun. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Now, this clip is actually a few days old because I forgot about it, but it's still relevant as calling out septic spots on the arse of humanity will always be relevant, and this tosspot here is a top-tier septic spot.
Well, you're not wrong.
In this clip, he's talking to Isabel Oakeshott about the lockdown files currently being put out by the Telegraph as he gleefully attacks government ministers while ignoring how much of a scumbag he was at the same bloody time.
Isabel, wow. When it dropped last night, 10:45, it was quite something to read all this, particularly for people like me who obviously were on air throughout this pandemic and involved in pretty heated discussions with people like Matt Hancock, in which, frankly, they lied through their back teeth about what was really going on.
Now, I'm sure you all heard him talk about his actions during 2020, or as he called it, heated discussions with people like Hancock. this while True is ignoring some massive elephants in the room when it comes to his behaviour during his time on ITV in 2020. Some might have noticed that it wasn't just people like Hancock he went after during all that, but pretty much anyone who tried to call out the blatant lies he's now acting like he didn't know about. I mean, come on, anyone with half a brain cell could see they was talking crap through most of it, and him being in the media would have known a lot more than we did, and yet he was paid to push the agenda, which of course he did. Oh, and it wasn't just celebrities or politicians that this tosspot attacked on here, was it? No, he also attacked random members of the public for not following the insanity, as you likely know.
I've talked about this a lot, but I'm appalled by this.
Yeah.
And I really think it's not acceptable. And it's if not. You work in NHS and care work, and you're a potential risk to the people you're caring for, you either have the jab or you don't go to work, I think.
Pissed about the vaccine, that needs to be addressed. We yeah. still need more education.
Every day I read such nonsense on Absolutely. Social media about these vaccines.
Can't
from ignorant, ill-informed
then...
people. When this was all happening, the pandemic, I took quite firm views throughout it, like a lot of people, I guess. One of which was when it was believed, when the vaccines first came along, that they would stop transmission. It seemed to me if you refuse to be vaccinated, you shouldn't be entitled to the same rights to go to nightclubs and stuff as those who'd taken the vaccine and were therefore not able to transmit it.
This he did on air and off it with constant tweets attacking people who called out the bullshit he was there to push. So while MPs like Hancock and the rest of them are scum, we must never forget people like Piers Morgan was their mouthpiece throughout. This weapons-grade wanker pushed the government's narrative with enthusiasm and so stands shoulder to shoulder with people he called liars just like Matt Hancock. Oh, and let's not forget what he did when it comes to hacking dead kids' phones. Yeah, the guy's the bottom of the bloody piss.
And there you go. Yes, weapons-grade wanker Piers Morgan. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
Yeah.
I know you'll have a thing or two to say.
Yeah, well, Piers Morgan is the lowest of the low. All this crap he says now, backpedaling. He's pathetic. And he was calling out everybody who had a point to speak about the COVID crap that was going on. He was defending it up to the hill. And now he says he questioned it. No, he questioned everybody who went against the narrative of the government and people like him, the low down scumbag as he is. We know that he was listening to people's children, dead children on the phone and things like that. We know he's, it goes back years. He's just been the lowest of the pits, all this. He's a total hypocrite, ladies and gentlemen. No wonder he got expelled out of the United States because they see right through his bullshit. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday. It's got to be said, as so many of them. You see the way the rats jump off the sinking ship. Ha! Typical. The Piers Morgans of the media, you scumbags. And yet we knew you had it coming, but you can't backpedal any further now, can you? And they're flailing, Dave. You can hear it in his voice. He's flailing. Because he's been caught out left, right, and centre. But I just wanted to make a comment. He needs a good slap, doesn't he? Excuse me. I don't believe in violence. But in his case, I'd make it an exception. Apologies. And if anybody's listening, don't forget, it's hypothetical what I'm saying. So before you lefties decide to jump all over me, jog on. There's my middle finger. Spin on it. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, weapons grade wanker, I think, definitely describes this scummy apology for a journalist. And this went on all over the West, all over Western countries. Again, the only place that this Project Fear really which is what they called it in the UK. You know, it's what government officials called it. It went on all over the Western world, except in Sweden. We have to remember that with the exception of when the vaccines, quote unquote, were rolled out, Sweden was doing it right. They had quarantining as well, but it was only of the most vulnerable people. The rest of society, they let get on and just do the things that society does. They were doing it right. But everybody else, including the States and the UK, were going along with the World Economic Forum policies, all the models that came out of King's College, some of the universities here in the United States, not all the universities in the United States, the Johns Hopkins stuff here in the United States, which, by the way, was disputed, but they still went along with all of it. And people in the media just lapped it up and puked it out to the rest of us. And they have scared an entire generation of people into a kind of hysteria. So they deserve all of the derision that we can heap upon them, and they deserve none of our trust. Jeff, is there anything out of chat before we get on to the next one? This is, in a lot of ways, this for the show is going to be the big one.
No, I just had a look. No, it's the gentlemen are sitting there listening to the show to see what we've got to say tonight. And I hope you're enjoying it, guys. There's a lot more to come yet. Just give you an heads up. Okay, Dave. Back to you, brother.
All right. You know, ever since the Watergate scandal over here in the United States 50 years ago, and it's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has, there's been a phrase used by journalists when they talk about scandals. You know, they say, we want to find the smoking gun. All right. And once they find that, then they know that they can nail somebody. Well, here is the smoking gun for the lockdown files. This, once you hear this about 9.5 minute clip, once you've heard this, things may not be quite the same for you as they were before you heard it, because this is a big load of the dirt that came from the WhatsApp messages and Matt Hancock and the whole theater behind the Wuhan virus lie. Jeff, you ready for me to roll this one, buddy?
Yeah, let's roll, guys.
All right, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Get a load of this. And as I said earlier, share this show and the last show far and wide. Dig it.
Well, guys, we're back on the lockdown files because what those who see through the lies from the start were saying has been proven correct, while we also have the Telegraph attempting to shift blame from themselves onto others. Now, yes, we all know Hancock's being used as a scapegoat in all this, and the information we're getting is not even the half of it. But as I've said before, this information will be new to those who can't see the wood for the trees when it comes to all this. Here, though, you see last night's lockdown files release, including snippets of these low-life ponces choosing when to release new variants. Yeah, that is a messy screenshot showing the utter scumbags planning when to frighten the public with new strains just before Christmas 2020. Here, Hancock writes, we frighten the pants off everyone with the new strain. After that, he goes on about Brexit before another one of the scumbags agrees that this will get the behaviour change they want. Then, and as suspicious as it gets, we have Matt Hancock writing this. When do we deploy the new variant?
In the quiet words of the Virgin Mary, come again.
This, I'm sure, as many people who got played by these ponces asking what the fuck, because the last I checked, the virus wasn't an infantry battalion you deployed to the battlefield or anything like that. That there should make everyone question pretty much everything about all this, if they didn't already, because at best it shows them hiding what they said was a deadly virus from the public until the best moment to scare them, and at worst it means they're working to a script and so-called new variant releases were designed to keep it going for as long as bloody possible. Now I know which one I think it is, but to be honest, it don't get any better further on, because they know the more variants they push, the harder it becomes to push the jab. Here in response to the new variant deploy comment, we have Damon Poole answering with this. Big risk with the variant. Right-wing papers go for a renewed push for let it rip on the basis the vaccine strategy's undermined. To which Hancock then replies, that's why we reassure on the vaccine. Now remember, this is December 13th, 2020, so only 12 days after the Pfizer jab was approved. This means there's no possible way they could have run jab studies on any new variants to know if it worked or bloody not. That should send alarm bells ringing to people, but something that pisses me off about all this is the fact that the Telegraph just stopped there. I'm sure there's a lot of other texts in that conversation that will likely continue that the public should actually know. I mean, after that, they moved on to talk about pushing masks on people, which we know they did to increase compliance and fear, not for any medical reason. Simon Case, for instance, talks about ramping up messaging because the fear and guilt factors are vital in his eyes. This to many might seem trivial, but you gotta ask yourself, why, if there's a deadly pandemic stalking the land, do politicians need to increase fear among the public? Surely a deadly pandemic would do that on its own, would it not? Instead, though, we had crap like this from the BBC and others.
Well, Clive Murray has spent 10 days filming at the Royal London Hospital, speaking to staff, patients and family members about how they're coping with the pandemic. Let's look at a part of that special report, and just to warn you as well that some of you may find the images in this report distressing.
The birth of a new day brings a familiar demon. More COVID infections and more death. And it's others who must stare into the abyss.
Oh yeah, the media must not be left out on this, and that includes the BBC, as you know. They took part in the Project Fear they're calling out here, and in many cases actually led the politicians on it. The media many times bounced hapless politicians into deranged U-turns and off-the-cuff policy choices that made no sense but ruined people's lives all the same. Be it lockdowns, tier systems or hotel quarantines, they played their part in all of it and then pushed the jab like Big Pharma's bitch boy. This people like Matt Hancock loved because it made pushing the crap he had in mind even easier, and that's what these text messages show. Here you see him talking to Patrick Vallance about the media preferring doom and gloom that Hancock's decides should be used to their advantage. This once again means scaring the public despite other studies at the time saying things were looking up. So that is the media leading Project Fear while scummy politicians and scientists use it to further their own agenda. This you can see is why the BBC decided to cover its arse in their coverage of these text messages this morning. They completely omit the parts about the media preferring doom and gloom. I'm sure you're going to be shocked.
The former Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, told aides he wanted to frighten the pants off everyone to ensure COVID compliance with COVID-19 restrictions, in the latest leaked messages that have been published in the Sunday Telegraph.
Yeah, the WhatsApp exchanges today show how Mr. Hancock and others discussed how to use an announcement about the Kent variant in December 2020 to scare the public into changing their behaviour. Our political correspondent, Helen Catt, has this report.
For several days, the Telegraph has been publishing leaked messages sent between the former Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, and others during the pandemic. With the latest batch, they accuse Mr. Hancock and his team of engaging in a kind of Project Fear. On the 14th of December 2020, Mr. Hancock announced the existence of the Kent variant of coronavirus. It had been growing as a proportion of cases, including in London, where there had been a steep rise. The Sunday Telegraph has published a message exchange from the day before, where Mr. Hancock appears to discuss potential resistance by the Mayor of London to a possible lockdown in the city. His aide suggests, rather than doing too much signalling, we can roll the pitch with the new strain. Mr. Hancock replies, we frighten the pants off everyone with the new strain. The paper has also published a message from the head of the civil service, Simon Case, sent the following month during the third lockdown. In it, he talks about ramping up messaging, adding fear/guilt factor vital. The messages were leaked to the paper by the journalist Isabel Oakeshott, who has been a vocal critic of lockdowns.
Yeah, never forget, the media want to rewrite history just as much as politicians do. The damage they did with lockdowns was incredible, and the people lost will never see true justice because that's just the way it works. The media will cover as much of it up as they can, while politicians walk away scot-free. It don't matter what evidence comes forward, so please don't expect criminal charges or anything stemming from this. At best, it'll help show people we were right all along and might hopefully mean more people stand against it if or when they try it again. Now, something else I should mention is the possibility that these text messages are being used to destroy trust in our government and institutions to usher in the WHO Global Pandemic Treaty.
The World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty is deeply concerning. It seeks to give the discredited WHO huge powers over this country and our people. Powers to call pandemics, enforce lockdowns, enforce vaccinations, and decide when any pandemic is over. Can we have an urgent debate on the proposed treaty, which, if passed, will take accountability, democracy, and sovereignty from our constituents and hand it over to unelected and discredited bureaucrats? Mr. Speaker, that will be the antithesis of Brexit itself.
This, I have to say, is not likely to be the case because these scumbags have shown us that they don't need to do things like that to create the situation we see a couple of years ago. They will just do it because they own the media and big tech, and as the past few years have shown, that is what they need. We will be signed up to the Global Pandemic Treaty regardless of text messages, and to think the scumbags need an excuse to do it is giving them too much credit.
I shall certainly make his views known to both the Department for Health and the FCDO that will look after many of these international organisations. But I can tell him it is incredibly important. We know from the pandemic, and we know from other outbreaks such as Ebola, that these diseases know no borders, and it is only through international cooperation and collaboration together that we will arrive at the solutions to ensure we do not have a repeat of the last few years.
They know most people are either ignorant to what's going on until it's too late, or they can be bullied or bribed into compliance with constant propaganda. If you ask me, these text messages are being used to keep attention away from the elephant in the room, that is jabs, excess deaths, the contracts and all the rest of it. The Global Pandemic Treaty will be ratified in May next year, at which time these messages will be long forgotten by the people, and that will be the end of that. They'll sneak in the Pandemic Treaty and then use it when they need to. They sneak in most laws and international agreements without the need for the whole song and dance we're seeing with these messages.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Well, Jeff, there's the smoking gun.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could give him a quick applause. And I want to do something, which I didn't speak about when we was having a little chat. I'm going to do it. Can you give him an applause for me, Dave? Just hit the applause button for me on my behalf, and then I'll do what we've always said about... Well done. Yeah, nice one, Dave. And as I've been saying, as we normally start the year by saying, we will resist. I'm going to do this. And Dave, this might catch you unawares, but I'm sure you'll appreciate it. And our great audience out there, what I'm doing. So with that, this is a great song by Alex and the band. It's a dear friend of the show. And a dear friend of mine. So here we go. Take it away, Alex.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. So roll Britannia with the EDL. Go! Mental!
there you go. And of course, we've been totally vindicated from all that we've said. And we've been saying this the last few years, and Dave knows, you all know, we've said, resist, resist, resist. And I felt it was time then, after hearing our great guy talking, that applause and to play that. Because you know what? I'm giving you the victory. This is a victory because we never give in, we never give up, and we never, ever surrender. That's the spirit of the EDL. With that, Dave, I know it took you by surprise, but but back to you, brother.
As a sentiment well understood, Jeff. Now, let's talk about that last audio that we heard. Okay, this really is a two-parter as far as discussion goes. And the first one, of course, is the messages themselves. Yes, it did vindicate us. It shows that we were right all along. And the real smoking gun operative message in there from Hancock himself is, when do we deploy the new variant? Now, that can be taken different ways. One way, of course, is when do we begin to scare people about the new variant? One way. Another way is, just to take it literally, as in, when do we release a new variant of the Wuhan virus? It can be taken either way. And a few weeks ago, when I was talking to Kenneth McClinton, on the Exceptional Conservative Show, where I do a segment with him every Thursday night after 9 p.m. Eastern, and that every Friday morning after 2 a.m. in the UK. And you guys can go to the TECN.TV Rumble page to get all of that stuff if you're not quite night owls in the UK. I said then that, yes, that statement can be taken a number of ways, and people can draw their own conclusions from it and from all of the messages surrounding it. Certainly, they were heavily involved in Project Fear, and they were trying to create this hysteria among the people. And we have to ask ourselves, Jeff, why? Now, at this point, EDL Radio, at this point in 2020, EDL Radio had been going on for a number of years. And also, there had been freedom movements going on around the world. The EDL, of course, Pegida for Freedom, defense leagues popping up in countries all over the planet. And, of course, it culminated in 2016 with Brexit and with the election of President Donald Trump. This scared the World Economic Forum cabal down to their toenails because they could feel it all slipping away from them. And they needed something to regain power. They needed something to quell all of these demonstrations and everything. And what better than a pandemic to do that? And now we know that this pandemic did originate from a lab in Wuhan, not from a bat. We know that. That's confirmed by the United States government. And this was used, whether it was released accidentally by the Chinese communists or on purpose, this was used to grind down the liberties of the people all through the West. And this group of messages proves that. And that's why I say, guys, share this show and the one before it far and wide. We've got even more, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you to see if you have anything to say about this first part of the discussion regarding this last one.
No, as I say, that's why I wanted to applaud what was said there, because I was very impressed with that. I'm also impressed with that guy. As you said, his thoughts are very, very similar to mine. It can be, sometimes he throws in a few F-bombs and things like that, which personally I like to keep it as like a G-rated, a room, but we must realise that everybody's different, and you know, you are talking about grassroots people, which I class myself at, because I've always been so used to running a G-rate. There's nothing worse than families sitting around listening, and there was suddenly a lot of cussing going on. But I was impressed with it, Dave, as I normally am. He's got a lot to say. He puts in so much in the short time that he does these videos, and he's always been impressive. I like how he puts it. He's got his own style, which I like. A bit like Pat Condell had his own style. I've known him for back for many years now, but we used to love him, didn't we? And I think I love this guy just as much. So there you go, Dave. That's what I thought about it. Back to you, brother.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, thanks. And the other part of this is what the guy brought up at the end. And it's very concerning. We're looking at, by May of next year, possibly the people in possibly the UK as a nation, and the United States as a nation, and other Western countries signing on to this global pandemic treaty. And it's exactly what the MP was saying that it was going to be. It will basically give a bunch of unelected, overpaid bureaucrats the power to decide when a pandemic begins, when it ends, and what countries will be required to do if they're signed on to this treaty about the pandemic. And that includes things like, you know, all of the crap that was done with the Wuhan virus pandemic. Face mask wearing, basically muffling the people, locking people into their homes, making jab mandates. In other words, controlling whether or not people can basically have a life unless they get one of these, you know, horrible little poison shots and things of that nature. It will basically take away sovereignty from all of the nations who sign on to this treaty. This is something that needs to be, the resistance to this needs to begin now. Not a year from now, not in April of 2024, when they're just about to sign on to it in the UK, and they may have already signed on to it here in the States. The resistance needs to begin now. And these people need to be made aware that if they even think about voting for this, that they're not going to get any votes from us. And that needs to be made extremely clear to them. And I want to congratulate the We Got a Problem guy for putting this chain of events together, from the lies that the UK government told, and by the way, the lies that other Western nations governments told, including the United States, right up to this one world government proposal of the pandemic treaty that we're
plandemic,
all supposed to sign on to.
Let's call it the proper word, plandemic. That's the buzzword, plandemic.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. And now, we do have more. We do have more, because remember, he talked about bribes as well in this. But before I get into that, Jeff, is there anything out of the chat?
Just let me see, Dave. One moment, mate. No. Sorry, Dave. No, there's nothing there at the moment. I suppose if the gentlemen have got anything to say, they would have said it there. Guys, if there's anything you want to add at all, please do. And I know you will do. But I think they just like listening to the show, see what we're doing, and make comments and that again, which I really like. So back to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, that last one, Jeff, was a lot to process, and I think it's going to take some people a few days to really think about it. And again, you can go to the We Got a Problem guys YouTube, or better yet, his Rumble page, and listen to those again. You know, you can again make your own interpretations. It's a lot, but it's the truth.
And it's urgent. This situation, Dave, I hope you don't mind, otherwise it just goes over my head somehow, but I want to say how urgent it is for people to realise what they are trying to do. You must stand up and fight against this. This is evil. And if you want your lives to be ruled like how the Chinese do, they're following their textbook. Can you not see this, ladies and gentlemen? That is what they're trying to do. And that is what I'm saying. This is urgent. Stand up and be counted. Do not let this happen to your nations and your countries. It all depends on you. Every single one of you listens to this show, wherever you might be. It's your time to make your voice heard. With that, Dave, back to you.
Yeah, it's extremely important. And as I said, in the last one, we got a problem guy, talked about bribes. And we've got another one. This one came out on the 7th, and it concerns that very thing. This will be about 2.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Well, guys, it seems we're now getting reports about Hancock and his team going after MPs who plan to rebel against the second lockdown, or circuit breaker as they called it. This, while pretty scummy, is not surprising, just the same as the text showing they plan to essentially bribe MPs into compliance. This had actually covered a while back when Andrew Bridgen admitted that Number 10 tried to buy his own silence.
They tried to buy me, but I said no. The representative from Number 10, who's an advisor, came to me and said, what do you want? You can have anything you want. Anything you want. This was early January 2022.
Yeah, this we always suspected, and the fact that people like Steve Baker and Mark Arbour are now members of the government suggest they may have taken similar bribes, though we'll never know this for sure. It's actually them too I'm focusing on here with these text messages, because while they didn't send any of them, there is something suspect about the Telegraph's report on this that actually relates to them. Here you see it talking about a list of Tory MPs planning to rebel, and further down they include the full list and reasons for each MP opposing it. Well, you will notice that they include the reasons for all MPs opposing it with the exception of Mark Harper and Steve Baker. This, if you ask me, certainly looks a bit odd. I don't know about you.
Yeah, we got a word for that kind of odd in English. It's called suspicious.
Yeah, the fact the two lockdown rebels who now have cabinet jobs reasons for opposing lockdown have been completely omitted by the Telegraph is certainly suspect. This, if you ask me, shows that the Telegraph are very much controlling the narrative on this one, which, let's be honest, many of us knew. Why they've decided to do it for these two is anyone's guess, but it looks like blatant ass covering to me. Perhaps a court order stopping them or pressure from the government itself, but it shows while we can make use of the messages, a sceptical view must always be taken, because the people giving us the info cannot be trusted in the bloody slightest.
And that's absolutely right. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with host Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, give you.
Yeah, no, as I say, it was great to listen to what he has to say, and I always find it always interesting. And now he studies it a lot, so that when he comes and he makes his video, his YouTube clips, it's always well done. And once again, I haven't got a lot to say on it, because it's everything I believe in and what you believe in, Dave. It's just more, it just adds a bit more substance to the issue, which I really like. I like people to do that. That's why when we talk, we like to digest it a little bit and discuss the items that's been discussed. So, yeah, once again, I'm impressed with the gentleman, and I was nodding in total agreement. So that's all I really want to say, Dave, because it's what we think anyway, and we know what's been going on. So back to you, brother. And that was really great. Thank you.
You bet, man. Well, and thanks to the We Got a Problem guy. And by the way, we will hear more from the MP, Andrew Bridgen, if not in this show, certainly in subsequent shows coming up. Because, well, we always have to take any politician with a salt lick because we've been betrayed so many times on both sides of the pond and all through the Western world. This seems to be a guy that that is on the right side, at least in some of these issues surrounding this, and has been for the past few years. As you heard him say himself that, a little wiener from number 10 basically just said, hey, whatever you want, baby. You know, I mean, he could have been Lord Andrew, right? He could have said, hey, a peerage, and it would have happened. But instead of that, the guy has been a stand-up dude, and he's now standing up for the victims of the jab, the people who have been injured by these quote-unquote vaccines. We'll be hearing more from him in weeks to come. So, and it'll be good stuff, guys. I can guarantee you that. Now, Jeff, is there anything out of chat before we get into this next one?
Nothing at the moment, Dave.
Okay, all right. And yes, Biggie and Doc Hope, both of you fellas are enjoying this. All right, now we're going to get into the next one that the We Got a Problem guy put out. This one came out on the 9th, and this is going to be about 8.5 minutes long, so it'll be plenty to gnaw on, guys. Check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Right, guys, it seems Pan Lam Rod Stewart, also known as the Pimlico Plumbers Ponce or Charlie Mullins, appeared on GB News recently. He was talking about the lockdown files, and I've got to say, it was bloody genius them getting him on there. I mean, the first minute or two is pure gold, but there are other highlights we'll also go through and take apart.
It really is the gift that keeps on giving, this Telegraph investigation. Among many of the government advice at the time was a somewhat mandatory COVID vaccination. One man hit the headlines in 2021 for introducing this mandatory requirement for all staff, and he's here with us now, Charlie Mullins, founder and former owner of Pimlico Plumbers. Good morning to you, Charlie.
Morning.
You were certainly a controversial figure during this particular time. Never been known one to shy away from controversy anyway, are you?
Calling Poundland Rod Stewart a controversial figure is certainly one way to put it. Most people I know would call him a septic spot on the arse of humanity, following things like this.
And, you know, the quicker that everybody acknowledges that, without proof of the vaccine, you can't go into a pub, club, restaurant, gymnasium, anywhere at all. You can't travel, theatre. You can't even go into work. I mean, personally, I have to say, I don't even think that we should allow people on the streets unless they've had the vaccine.
Yeah, controversial is putting it lightly, I don't mind bloody saying. Anyway, let's hear what he has to say now. Reality's caught up with him and the narrative he held push.
And we like an opinionated man on this show, but when you look at this now, when you look at the backstory and what was going on behind the scenes, do you feel that you were lied to about how serious the situation was?
Well, yeah, of course it was. I mean, all the country was lied. I mean, it was very misled, and looking back on it, I mean, you know, I think obviously there was under a lot of pressure at the time, but there was a lot of information held back. I think they over-exaggerated so many things. I mean, I don't feel I've done anything wrong. We just, you know, carried out what the government was suggesting to us, but...
Well, I'm sorry, but I've got to call bullshit on that there, because not only does he admit that they lied to him while also trying to defend them, but he actually has the brass neck to say he did nothing wrong. Is he actually taking the piss there, or is it just me that thinks doing shit like this is the bottom of the bloody barrel?
But look, undoubtedly, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, I came up with the idea, no jab, no job, and that's something we're carrying out at Pimlico Plumbers. Nobody's going to come and work for us unless they've had the vaccine and they've got proof that they've had it. We're not going to send engineers out to customers' houses once the vaccine is properly rolled out unless they've had the vaccine. So for me, it's a no-brainer. From a business point of view, it's a must.
Yeah, forcing staff to get medical treatments to work for you is medical fascism and, let's be honest, pure scumbag behaviour. And that there actually leads on to the bit where he said this is what the government wanted us to do, which, yes, they did mention it, but they never told you to do it. In fact, you admit you proudly introduced it first, insinuating that you did it even before the government pushed it. So yeah, that last statement's pure bollocks, because the only people the government tried to force into getting jabs was NHS and care home staff, not bloody plumbers. You did that yourself, so own it, you bloody coward.
Now it's all coming out through this journalist. I think that, you know, we're certainly misled, and, you know, so much was, you know, the country was locked down for too long, loans and furlough, all this was so unnecessary looking back on it. I think the only thing they got right was the vaccination.
Oh, they got the jabs right, did they? So why did Chris Wee say the virus you got terrified of wasn't deadly enough to justify rushing jabs? I mean, let's be honest here, they pushed these jabs on people who had zero risk of dying from bat flu but suffered adverse effects from the jabs, and you call that a success?
Don't piss in my pocket and tell me it's raining.
Yeah, what about excess deaths and that elephant in the room that must be due to climate change, because it couldn't be anything else, could it, shit rod? They followed the science, didn't they?
You know, we own the science.
Oh yeah, wait, the text proved they didn't follow the science. They made it up as they went along. Sorry, my mistake, but God, this guy is full of shit.
Would you, looking back now, do you think that your mandated vaccination program at your company was based on fraud? It was based on the fact that they had exaggerated the fears. They said they wanted to frighten the pants off people. How frightened were you?
Yeah, of course, but we was totally misled. But as I say, I don't feel that, you know, we didn't actually implement it. That's what we planned to do for all new recruits. And, you know, staff still had a choice whether they wanted to have the vaccination or not. So I think we just carried out what it was suggested by us. And at that time, it sounded the best way to carry on things. But
now we get on to his no jab, no job that he was so proud of. And I do like how Bev Turner points out that he got played by the government.
So you've been white grafted, royally turned over like some fucking yank buying London Bridge.
Yeah, she's loving this because remember, she was smeared and mocked on TV and now she's being proven right, as we all are. This though actually leads on to one of the best bits of the whole interview in my book, because as you heard, he admits that he couldn't even implement his no jab no job policy, which maybe explains why he also sold up. This there suggests to me that he might have sold up because when he tried to implement it, the partner shareholders or investors maybe pushed back against it and possibly even pushed him out. Either that or lawyers or possibly the government told him doing it would be discrimination without a law actually forcing it and he'd end up getting sued. Of course, it should also be remembered that at the time he was telling us we couldn't walk down the street without the jab. He wasn't even jabbed himself or in bloody England. Yeah, the arse scumbag was in the Costa del Tospot, unjabbed, living his best life while telling us how we should live ours.
What a wanker.
Anyway though, we got another clip here, so let's quickly go through that and see what he actually says.
Did you lose any staff over it, Charlie? Did some people say, look, I'm just not going to do this, I'm not going to...
Well, there's a few people said that, you know, when it comes through, we're going to jump ship. Yeah. And that's fine, that's their choice. But, you know, we was protecting customers, protecting staff.
Were customers...
Well, there you hear it, from the horse's mouth. Staff planned to jump ship the second he put this policy in place. But as you heard, he never actually did. So maybe that was a reason why they didn't put it in, because all the staff planned to walk, or at least a certain section of them. That we suspected was the case, but to finish up, let's see this idiot double down on doing the same thing again, despite knowing they lied about everything he brought into.
Coming to you in bigger numbers because you were
undoubtedly.
I can provide a vaccinated plumber.
Undoubtedly. I mean, you know, we set them out with test kits before they went through the door. And, yeah, look, you know, we were sort of certainly got the business side of it right. And it was the right thing. And, you know, I think I'll still carry out the same sort of procedure tomorrow, give them the information by the government. I mean, we're not to know that they're misleading us or lying or withholding information.
Yeah, he ain't learned a lesson or nothing from this, has he? Instead, he'd do it all again, which I've got to say, I'm not surprised. Now, I am actually shocked he agreed to come on here, considering how stupid these text messages make him look, but not once did he ever apologise for wanting to lock up people who didn't trust the liars he became the gobshite for. Though, to be honest, I don't really care if he did or ever does. I'll never forget what this and the rest of these scumbags did. Let me tell you that for a fact now.
And you know, the quicker that everybody acknowledges that, the without proof of the vaccine, you can't go into a pub, club, restaurant, gymnasium, anywhere at all. You can't travel, theatre. You can't even go into work. I mean, personally, I have to say, I don't even think that we should allow people on the streets unless they've had the vaccine.
And just before I turn it over to Jeff, let me tell you that Charlie Mullins wants to be the next mayor of London. And with that, welcome back to the English Spence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, take it away.
Typical wants to be the mayor of London, another scumbag, horrible, horrible person. He has got blood on his hands like the rest of them have because of what he said. The treacherous bastard. That's all I want to say about him. He's a two-faced hypocrite. Changes his quick change stance. Oh dear, I better go along with that. Yeah, and you're telling people to get jabbed. And all the time is they're putting crap in people's arms that's killing them. You traitorous bastard. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen, but I've got to speak honestly. These people make me want to throw up. That is it, what they do. I mean, he comes across as a nice geezer. No, he is a total hypocrite. And God knows how many people that did inoculation because he told them to. I'll take my advice with it, mate. I will definitely get a jab. Yeah, people do take notice of pricks like him, excuse my language, but that's the sad reality. And unfortunately, the sheep are out there full of people like him. And that is the downfall. This is like the end of the Roman Empire with people like him who causes the downfall of great civilizations because he ain't got a clue. He's clueless. You know, I've got to tell it the way it is. Sorry, Dave, but people like him, and my apologies to everybody out there that might be listening. Maybe we can bleep out a few things, Dave, at the end of the show, because people like him boil my urine. I can't help it. I just deplore those type of people, which we've been fighting all along, because he sounds like a globalist. The way he's talking, he's got a globalist mentality. He has. I mean, I don't want to get myself in further trouble, Dave, but I'm going to pass it back to you because you know I'm angry about this guy. I'd like to slap him around a bit. But hypothetically speaking, ladies and gentlemen, because we know there are people listening to what I'm saying. So, Dave, back to you.
Well, Jeff, the last thing you should do is apologize, man. I mean, this guy, when I heard this video first, you know, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, this is the absolute tip top of what we here in the United States called during all of this the Karens. Okay, this was just these people that said, you should obey all the rules, you know, and now he comes out and he says, I was just obeying orders. Yeah, yeah. While at the same time, not being jabbed himself and basically doing the same thing that Nancy Pelosi did over here in the United States for my American brothers and sisters. Remember that back in the day when she was in her gated community sucking on gourmet ice cream and telling everybody else that they have to be locked down. He's a miserable sack of crap. And it shows one thing, guys, it shows one thing. These politicians, even though they've been exposed for just the parasites that they are, have not learned one damned thing, not one thing, which just is annoying to me. And it should be annoying to everyone. And everyone should resist these people as much as possible. Jeff, do you have anything more to say on this creep? Is there anything out of the chat before we hit the next one?
Yeah, I've just had a look now. I think people just, I haven't shocked people too much. As I say, sometimes people like him just make me so angry. I can't help it. It's just that he brings out the anger in me. You know, I'm quite a quiet gentleman these days, Dave, you know, but all of a sudden he'll raise my temperature. And I've got something I have to say about him. And he is a very dangerous man because people took notice of what he said. And God knows how many people died because of what he told them. Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Stop it. I couldn't blank myself. That was a sneeze, by the way. But there you go. Yeah, I don't want to go no more because, you know, people like him just make me angry. I know they make you angry. They make society, the normie people, not myself and you, Dave, and many others, the common sense people, he's the one who drives us totally bonkers because we know he's so, so wrong in what he said. But anyway, I hope people listen to this and just switch off for a minute because he is a loser. And don't forget, he's got blood on his hands. God knows how many people probably jabbed and might have died or had coronary thrombosis or heart problems or blood clots because of what he told them to do. So there you go. Back to you, Dave. I think we've marked him down. Yes, you're a marked man, Charlie, you imbecile. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, again, people, and here's the thing, guys, you know, with this narrative, oh, we were lied to by the government, and we had to take that ball and run with it, you know, like in American football. No, you didn't have to, because that entire time, both in the UK and in the United States and in other Western countries, you had people like Jeff, you had people like myself, you had people like Ken McClinton, you had parrots like Charlie, you had everybody in the alternate media telling people that this stuff was lies. It was lies all along, and we were the ones giving the logical arguments. And these people now who are saying that, oh, we didn't have any other sources of information, are full of it. We were giving out the proper information all along. They just didn't want to hear it. Now, guys, I'm going to play this one here while Charlie tries to open up another microwave dinner in the background. Charlie is our executive producer, by the way. This one here is from the 11th.
Good night.
And it's about 5 minutes and 5 3/4 minutes long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here's another one trying to rewrite history.
Right, guys, I've got to call out another septic spot on the arse of humanity. He's trying to rewrite history relating to the past few years and the stuff they said during it. Here we have a clip from GB News where he now admits in a roundabout way that Sweden got it right, though still claims they're comparable to us, which given excess death rates now proves he's talking crap. Oh, and like I said, he's seriously trying to rewrite history, but this tosspot forgets people like me keep receipts for what these scumbags actually did.
You left a pandemic plan in place, which didn't involve a blanket lockdown. That wasn't what the plan was. Every other countries, Sweden had the same plan. They stuck to their plan. Why do you think the government abandoned the plan, the pandemic plan that you left behind? And you seem to also support the government in abandoning the plan that you left behind. So what was so wrong with your plan that it needed to be abandoned? It was, after all, your plan.
Well, I think we all have to be humble about the events of the pandemic, because I don't think we did as well as we could have done as a country.
Hold on a minute there. Did he just say we didn't do as well as we could have as a country? That there sounds like he's blaming the public and not politicians for what went on. Obviously, this is pure bollocks because the public got propagandized into irrational fear by politicians and the media puppets they paid to push it. What he really means is corrupt politicians loused up their plans and made it obvious they was talking shit pretty much from the start. Anyway, though, let's move on because he don't stop there.
Although, in other ways, our vaccine rollout, we were one of the very best in the world, so there's much to be proud of as well. But in terms of preparations, we did prepare exhaustively. Johns Hopkins University in the United States said we had the second best preparations of anywhere in the world. Looking back with the benefit of hindsight, and it is with the benefit of hindsight, I can see that we over-focused on preparing for pandemic flu and not for the type of virus that we actually ended up with, which was a coronavirus.
Which is a flu virus.
It's a different type of virus, but it spreads slightly more slowly. So you have the incubation period, a longer incubation period, which is why, looking back on it, the approach that I advocated when I was chair of the Health Select Committee was really to follow what they were doing in Korea and Taiwan, where they avoided national lockdowns by having a much more effective test and trace system.
Well, being proud of the jab rollout is not something universally agreed with, and especially not when you consider the coercion used to push it. But did you actually hear that word salad of horseshit there that he just puked out? Because I know I did, and have to question how dumb he actually thinks people are. I mean, he said that they threw out his pandemic plan because it focused on flu and not coronaviruses. This despite the basic fact that both meant to be respiratory viruses spread using the same bloody methods. In fact, you might actually remember flu vanished like a fart in the wind for 2 years for what has to be a first time ever. Yeah, that's a strange one there, but the bullshit ain't even the thing that I really care about. No, what I care about is what he said at the end there in relation to his time on the Health Select Committee. You know what, let's hear it again.
Why, looking back on it, the approach that I advocated when I was chair of the Health Select Committee was really to follow what they were doing in Korea and Taiwan, where they avoided national lockdowns by having a much more effective test and trace system.
Oh, you said about following Southeast Asia, did you? Because I can pull bullshit on that right now with proof that test and trace wasn't what you pushed during that committee meeting.
I very much agree with the central point in Gabriel's paper that we should be aiming for zero infection and elimination of the disease, because that is basically the approach taken in countries which have a SARS strategy as opposed to a flu strategy. And those are the countries that have overwhelmingly been the most successful in tackling coronavirus. My sister lives in Beijing, and she flew back to Beijing in the middle of lockdown. And just to give you an idea of the contrast, she was escorted from the airport in Beijing to her home by Ministry of Health officials and then put into her home for 2 weeks quarantine. The door was sealed, and she had a police car sitting outside her house periodically. And I'm not saying we go that far in this country, but I just think it's an indication.
Oh yes, did you see the glee on his face when he talks about his sister being locked up in China by health officials despite not actually being sick? That there is a far cry from what he just claimed he wanted, if you ask me, and shows, like I said, that this scumbag's trying to rewrite history. Well, I ain't gonna let him do it. He was a China lockdown pushing scumbag that should never ever be forgotten, much like all the bloody rest of them.
There you go, and welcome back to the English Men's League Radio Show. Yes, Jeff, there's your man, Mitchell, Jeff. Your well, news, that's the final one.
Yeah, I'm going to say that it sums up what we've always said. You can trust a politician as far as you can throw them. The lies, the deception, and all that goes with politicians. That is why I can't stand politics, especially British politics. the lies, the deception. No wonder they go to university to learn how to lie and to deceive the public in doing things really that they shouldn't be doing, and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And all the time, people are dying in homes. Old people are dying in homes, being forced to take the jabs. Held down, you know, and through people like him, you know, there should be Nuremberg Trials 2.0 for people like him and all the others. And let's hang them from every lamppost down, well, is it Politics Hill? Let's do it from lamppost to lamppost, because he and the rest of them have been the death of so many people. This is a crime. They talk about crimes of humanity. These people, these globalists, they are what caused it. That's what they want to do. They want to sort of half the population. This is population replacement. Let's kill them all off. Let's stick them in these 15-minute cities. Let's do that. Trust the politician at your own risk, because they're dangerous and people have died because listening to them, listening to that box in the corner going, you must have jabbed. Oh, otherwise you won't be able to do it. You won't be able to go to work and all that. Don't you realise this is a whole big conspiracy against the world population? The scumbags, every single one of them. And yes, I might be controversial things I'm saying, but ladies and gentlemen, you like the truth from myself and from Dave. And I will tell you the truth, and I'll get angry about it, because I just think of the poor people that died not being able to say goodbye to their parents when they were dying, and given an iPad to say goodbye. Do you think we should forgive these people? Do you think we should forgive them? No way. Let's not let them forget, because one day they will be held accountable. I hope and I pray that is the way. Dave, back to you.
All right, Jeff. And you were talking, and I was sitting here with the mic muted going, yeah, go on, Jeff, go for it, go for it. I mean, we were right all along, and this second of the two-part shows that we've done here that I hope everyone will share out show that. But let's never, ever forget why we made the shows in the first place and why we said the things that we did all along from the beginning of this pandemic to now. It is the human costs that we wanted to try and avoid. And it's the human costs that Jeff talked about, that the politicians that were involved in this don't give a rat's furry behind about. They don't care about that. And we should never forget that. And I'm with Jeff when it comes to this. I told this to Ken McClinton a few weeks back. In the United States, We have a thing called the Beltway. It's a highway that basically goes around all of the monuments and the Capitol building and the White House and all that stuff in our Capitol. All right, what we should do is put up gallows all around the gateway for all of these politicians over here. Let them hang there. Let them hang, down Parliament Hill, I think, Jeff, is what you guys call it there in the UK. And let them.
We should take the family to watch him swinging, Dave. You know, the picnic day. Take the family. Let's watch these politicians do a dance. Do the dance of death. Let's see it. There you go. That's me on fire tonight, Dave. And I just want to say we've got a great gentleman's joining us. Just popped in just a little bit. And that's, of course, Bring It On, Boye. Always good to see you, my dear friend. God bless you. He's Bigfoot's welcoming. Boy, good to see you here, brother. It's been a bit late because we'll be shutting down shop soon, but always good to see you. I hope your family's well. Go Vold on them. what's that? Go Vold on them. Thank you. Yeah, okay. You're very welcome, my dear friend. There you go, Dave. As I say, he came and joined us again, and it's always good to see. I have actually had a rant tonight, Dave. I was absolutely fired up the people like that when I think about it over the last 3 years. Look at me. Look, Dave, I suffer from agoraphobia now through this crap. This is it. This has caused me health issues, and it wasn't, I was taking notice. I was just being bloody careful. But that's what happens to your health. Your health suffers. But Dave, let me pass it back to you, my dear friend.
All right. Well, and to finish up what I was saying, yeah, we should put up those gallows and we should hang those politicians, and their corpses should be left there on those gallows until they rot off. And then the gallows left to still stand as a message, not to the next generation, but to the next 10 generations to never try this stuff again. Now, that's what should happen. That's probably not what's going to happen.
No,
but what we can do is
thinking on our behalf and the rest of civilization. Let's be honest, Dave. I mean, if us think this way that we do, there's millions upon millions of us feel this way. We've had enough. We're absolutely heartbroken to think how many people died in the old people's homes, how many families have lost loved ones, and we talked a little while ago. And there's not one of us that's not been touched by this crap that they was pumping out to us. So there you go, Dave. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, to finish my thought, this needs to be done because this can never. And what we can do now, is remember who voted for this stuff, who stood for this stuff, who put out the propaganda. We can make sure that we don't listen to them, regardless of what news agency they belong to, BBC, ITV, over here in the States, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. Yes, they were involved in it too,
yeah.
All of them. We should make sure that we tell everybody and let no one forget that these people can't be trusted in the politicians. Okay, well, maybe we can't send them to the gallows, but we can damn sure not vote for them. That's one thing that we can do, and we can support their opposition. Research, of course, before you support, but we can support them, and that is what we can do. And before I close up, I just want to reemphasize, people, Ramadan begins on Wednesday, the 22nd. And it will end in April the 21st. Once that day is over, guys, be careful out there. Be very careful. This is a time of heightened terrorist activity on the part of the Mohammedans. As I said, to open up the show, when you go out in public, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of where your escape routes are. If you're allowed to, carry a self-defense tool. Don't let yourself be caught in a hostage situation. And just be ready to be quick on your feet, because we're entering a very dangerous time. And as Bigfoot said, check out thereligionofpeace.com. It's a great resource. And also check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My shows come on at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. And I have new-to-you shows that come out on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States. And that is also 5 a.m. on Saturdays in the U.K. And I just want to say thank you to Bring It On Boy and Biggie and Duck and to you, Jeff. Thank you, guys. It's been a great show. And to everyone, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. Jeff, back to
you. Yeah, I just want to say today, Dave, before the show began earlier on, I put this show on Getter. Now, if you go to Getter, look for me. I'm Night Light. It's 22:06:51. Just look for me there and you will see this show on that page. Not only that, it's on Ken's page as well. So, and that's the best in urban Christian conservative news, talk and entertainment at TECN TV. And there is a link there that they can go to, isn't there, Dave? Dave, you're better saying the
Well, Jeff, you know, if you don't mind me stepping on you real quick, yes.
This show is
repeated. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. This show is repeated at the radio page for TECN.TV. There, you know, Ken McClinton's network, which is fabulous, is mated with ours in this, and they have fantastic shows all through the week themselves. So go and check out TECN.TV. The link is in the show page, along with Jeff's Getter link, and I am UBG contact on Getter. So God bless everybody, and no surrender ever. And, you know, the Jam are up here, and they're stomping their feet, and they feel all right, and they're ready to go, brother.
Yeah, it's always good to see them. But as I say, Guy, Dave, once again, thank you for all the clips. And I meant to say to you earlier, thanks for the slides, the clips, all the audio clips, and everything that you do, the script for tonight. Dave works very hard, and he's a great friend, an awesome friend of mine, and of course the show as well. So kudos, Dave, to you for all that you do. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week. You know, we'll have another show like this, and maybe I know a lot of people like hearing me rant. I know Dave does. He knows he's going to get me on one of my rant evenings. And I've got to apologise if some language, which don't usually use apart from when I'm on a rant, was used this evening. But you know, when you're angry, you do say these things. But I just want to say, my apologies to anybody who might have had the kids around or something like that. Just try and explain that. I apologise for some of my some of the things I said. But with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you so that we can say good night to everybody. Thank you, lads, for being in the chat. Always good to see you. Always a blessing. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. And not forgetting, no surrender ever. Back to you, Dave. go. I just want to make a few comments from the last things that have been said in the chat. Now, I understand what you're talking about. Bring it on, boy. He said, go Walden. But I know what he was talking about. Vlad the Impaler. That's what he really means. And he said, line up the wooden stakes. Let them rest on them. And Bigfoot says, as RZ calls it, the 535 Pikes plan. Love it. Love it, Bigfoot. And then bring on, boy. He said, that's what I said about Vlad would do at the dinner table. Laugh out loud, Bigfoot. And Bigfoot says, thanks, Jeff and Agnes. See you all later. God bless you, mate. And of course, bring on, boy. He last comment, he says here, until the cheese melts in the sun. Night all. Oh my God, these guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yeah, I've just got to come back now, back into the studio and say, right, we're now at the very end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as, unfortunately, my rants have gone uncontrolled tonight. But it had to be done, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll see you again next week. So let me, I've just got to do something here, and then I'll say goodnight to you all. So, right, from myself, from Dave, from everybody that's associated with the EDL radio show, or the spirit of the EDL, I mean, like that, you know, we're still the pirate ship that's sailing out there doing our thing. It's great. I love doing what I do. I like getting the truth out there. The truth is so, so important. But anyway, I've got to say now is this is the English Defence League radio show, the spirit of the EDL, saying good night for the evening. And we're signing off, and we will see you next Sunday. And of course, the clocks would have gone forward next Sunday. So don't forget, it'd be a little bit early if you guys in the States and Central and all that. So just remember, it's going to be a little bit earlier than what it normally is, but we're all going to catch up soon, so don't worry about it. So with that, I've got to say good night, God bless, and of course, to everybody out there, no surrender, no surrender, ever. So good night, everybody. Good night, Dave, and thank you, brother.